Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, what is happening, Rush Nation? Here we are, night one of the NFL draft in the books. And I guess there's a lot to discuss, and also not as much to discuss as many media outlets would be expecting this morning. And I don't want to say I feel smug. I don't want to say I feel vindicated. I don't want to say any of those things. But what I will say is what I said on Wednesday was absolutely true. I didn't expect there to be too many changes, too many big moves that were kind of predicted that they were going to happen. We saw the Minnesota Vikings trade up twice, a couple of late round moves. But, you know, all this chaos and big moves and players getting traded and all this nonsense that was getting peddled by the media outlets didn't happen. It didn't happen. I didn't expect it to happen. It just goes to show that the media is trying to present a more, I don't know, it's trying to make something that's already entertaining even more entertaining. And a lot of people walk away last night feeling, I don't want to say deflated, that's probably a bit far. But what I will say is they probably feel like there was not as much happening as there had been in previous years. And that's because the expectation level was set ridiculously high and it could never be met. And that is what happened. That's what happened last night. There was very little surprise. There was one really big surprise, but there weren't that many others. It was a very chalky opening to the draft. It was very little surprise, you know. But the media kept trying to peddle this agenda. They kept trying to peddle things about all the way up until the start of the draft. You know, last night, there's notifications going across that the Rams are working the phones to get into the top 10, stamp out at 19. That Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel are going to get traded for the San Francisco 49ers to move up. Didn't happen. I'm not saying that these things either didn't happen or there wasn't some effort from the Rams to move up, but things like Michael Penix is going to the Giants at 6. They had the opportunity. He was there. Of course, they didn't take him. They paid for Daniel Jones. They're going to stick with Daniel Jones. They don't see him as the problem. They see other areas as their problem. And this is what I mean, is there was an unusually high expectation for last night that was not able to be delivered. And I still thoroughly enjoyed it. I still had a great time. There was a lot of positives from last night. Don't get me wrong, but there was that underwhelming feeling amongst myself and other people that, hey, didn't happen. The fireworks were not shot out. And, you know, I think the AJ Brown trade from 2 years ago kind of set this expectation that we're going to have all these big blockbuster things happen all the time on night one of the draft. And that's not happened. So let's get into it. Let's look at it and then look at the fantasy reactions. Really, I guess the only place we can start is the Michael Penix Jr. pick. Now, I've been talking about Penix for months. Originally, when I started talking about Penix, was slated for thinking he was good enough to go in the first round. I was slated for thinking he was good enough to be a top 10 pick. But this landing spot is horrific. And there's a lot of questions. And I've had people message me already, like, how do you explain this? And I can't with any great degree of confidence, but I will try. They've paid Kirk Cousins a lot of money. He's got, you know, the outs on his contract are effectively, I think, after 2026. So we do have a way to go where he will be on the roster. And they've already drafted the replacement. And that is a difficult place to be. Now, you have what happened yesterday. And we've seen it before. We saw it with Jordan Love just a few years ago when he was taken in 2020 with Aaron Rodgers. There's a big difference, though. When Aaron Rodgers was not consulted, or when Jordan Love was, they traded up to get Jordan Love in the first round, they knew that Aaron Rodgers was going to be the quarterback for at least the next 2 years. And Green Bay had a history of doing this. This is something they had done. They had done with Brett Favre. And then they had done with Aaron Rodgers himself. So this is something that they have done. And they have done over a few years. So, or over a few generations even. But they've done it in the last sort of ongoing cycle, which is why they always seem to have a great quarterback. The other thing with the Green Bay Packers is they were winning. You know, they were a playoff team. They knew the age of Rodgers. They knew at some point they were going to need to move on from Aaron Rodgers. And they put themselves into a place that made sense. And I think that's a big part of it. I think you look at that and you think there's succession planning when you're a successful franchise to stay at the top. And that's what the Green Bay Packers did. But the Falcons haven't been in the playoffs for the last 5 years. So it's a really baffling situation. You pay a quarterback a lot of money. Now, he is under contract for 4 years. The way that the structure is that almost the first 2 years he's guaranteed. So he's not going anywhere for 2 years. So year three, there's an out. He can get out before the Falcons can get out of the Kirk Cousins contract before June 1, 2026, right? So Cousins is there effectively as the starter for the next 2 years. That is like given. Maybe Penix could start to move towards being the starter towards the end of 2025. But effectively, we're looking at the first season and half of next season as a minimum of Kirk Cousins as a starter. So we've got Kirk Cousins for the foreseeable future. And then there is an out. There is an out for the Vikings. It is before June 1, 2026. So probably some point post-season 2025, pre-season 2026. The out is £32.5 million in dead cap. So if your plan was get a free agent quarterback, draft a quarterback, two things should have happened. One, you structure the contract in that way. And if you front load Kirk Cousins' contract, then fine. You know, if you front load his contract, I'm just reaching my coffee. If you front load his contract and you have this scenario where you go, okay, we're going to give him $100 million, but we're going to pay him significantly in the first 2 years. So the get out is $10 million in, or whatever it is. Then I understand that. That kind of makes sense. You're paying Kirk Cousins the money he wants. You structure it in a way to where you leverage it all up front. And then you pave the way for your future quarterback. They've not done that. They're going to take a huge dead cap. Now, you could argue that $30 million with the way that the cap's trending could be $300 million effectively by 2026. And if that happens, then it's 10% of their cap. But still 10% of the cap in 2026, they're not going to have to work. They're not going to have in a situation that they have completed all by themselves. That if they were, and I'd like to think that any NFL organization is considering, if they're going to take that quarterback at eight, that they've been considering that from the point that they knew they were picking in the top 10. So before the end of last season. So I'd like to think they went into free agency thinking that picking Penix was on the cards. Like, I'm not saying it was nailed on. You can never guarantee something, but that was in the plan, but it clearly wasn't. So I don't really know why they've structured the contract the way they have. And then the second thing is, if you're going to do that and you're going to get this guy in free agency and you're going to make him the franchise quarterback, because that's what you've paid him. You've paid him to be the franchise quarterback. You are telling him that, hey, guess what, pal? In 2 years, or we're going to take a quarterback in the draft. Right? If the opportunity presents itself and we're sitting at eight and our guy is there at eight, we're going to take him. And we're just giving you that courtesy heads up. We still think you're our guy, but we have a due diligence to the organization. It's not going to threaten you being a starter immediately, but we are going to bring in someone. And they didn't. Kirk Cousins had no idea. He was completely blindsided by this news. So you have just upset the quarterback you've just signed, and you've basically crowned your franchise QB, and you have just created a cap problem in 2 years' time, or that you completely could have avoided with just some basic measures, basically, and communication. And maybe they didn't want to tip the league. Maybe they didn't want to tip the league that this was on their radar. But that's an expensive way of doing it. They cost themselves $20 million in cap to keep Shtum. It's an expensive silence fee. That probably is the reason they've done it. But my word, I mean, like, I feel really sorry for Michael Penix Jr. Because I actually think Michael Penix Jr. is almost ready to start now. And he's not going to effectively start for 2 years. Maybe longer, if Kirk Cousins is a success. And then you've got this other point of, they're not in the luxury to future plan. They've just hired a new GM. They've just hired a new head coach. If you're Raheem Morris right now, surely you can't be happy with this. You can't be sitting there thinking, like, you've just hired me to be your head coach, and now what you've done is you've used my top 10 pick to not make my team better this year. It's going to have no impact. That number eight overall pick is not going to see the field in 2024 unless Kirk Cousins is injured. Which, if it does, then all of a sudden this is a game-changing pick. But if realistically, he's not going to see the field in 2024. And realistically, he's probably not going to see the field in 2025. Maybe towards the end of the season. So you've got this whole thing where you've taken a guy and you're sitting him for 2 years. And it has worked. We've seen it work. But you're not in the luxury of being in a position where you can future plan. You've not made the playoffs in the last 4 or 5 years. You should have won the division last year. You didn't win the division last year. You are now contending with other teams like the Panthers, who are going through a huge rebuild. The Saints aren't necessarily completely terrible. And then you've got the Buccaneers, who have won the division 3 years in the spin and are getting stronger. They've got a younger team. They've got their quarterback. You're not nailed on to necessarily win the division this year, even with Kirk Cousins, which is a sizable improvement. But you've invested in Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and Drake London in first round picks in the last three NFL drafts. And so you've not invested in the defensive side of the ball in the NFL draft. I'm not saying you should have done that at eight, but I'm saying that I don't really get the thinking of taking Penix to not make your team better now, when you are effectively in a scenario where you need a win. Because if in 2 years' time, if Morris and the GM have not steered this team to a playoff berth, they could be out of a job. I don't like it. I just don't. I think it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again, if you're the Green Bay Packers, if the Chiefs had taken a quarterback, people would be screaming, but at least I would half understand the logic, at least a little bit. I'd go, okay, even though Mahomes is still young and he's still going, you think maybe, just maybe, if something happens to Mahomes, we've got someone behind and we can just develop them in a way. It wouldn't make loads of sense, but it would make more sense than this. Penix, all of a sudden, I was talking about him being a first-round pick in Dynasty rookie drafts. I don't think you can do it. As much as his draft value escalates his sort of composite score, he's sitting for 2 years. So you were in Jordan Love career arc territory where do you really want to put a first round pick in a super flex draft into someone who's going to sit in your taxi squad this year and then sit on your bench next year? If you're picking at like 11, 12, there's a case for it. If you're stacked a quarterback, you've got some aging quarterbacks, I don't mind that. But you're not picking him any earlier than that. And actually, I think he falls into the second round. Like, that's a bit of madness, really. And then this caused Bo Nix to go to Denver at 12. Made sense. I did a mock draft last night, which I shared to people. And I had the Broncos moving up back to 31 after trading down earlier in the draft. So I had them taking a pick. No, I didn't have them trade back. I had them trading back up to get there, I had them taking Latu at 12. And then I had them trading back up to get Nix at 31. So we saw the fit. Makes complete sense to me. And also the Penix pick forces Denver to make that pick. So I'd like to think that if Penix had gone at 13, which is where I thought he would go, to the Raiders, there's no one behind there ushering to make a quarterback move. Therefore, they could have considered taking Latu at 12 and then taking Nix, maybe trading back into round one late on and making that move. That didn't happen. The Penix pick kind of sends everything into a bit of a spiral. And then it causes this sort of knock-on effect that means Bo Nix goes to Denver. I'm not the biggest Bo Nix guy, but you have to look at that and say he's probably one of the biggest winners tonight because of the fact he is going to win that job over Zach Wilson. Whether it's not week one, week two, week three, but really, you got to look at Denver in that division and think, are you winning the division this year? No. Then you got to play Bo Nix. And that's where I kind of think they're going to go. So, and it makes sense. I think it makes complete sense. I get the logic of it. I don't think he's necessarily good enough to be 12 overall, but situations and circumstances meant that is his value. Because I tell you now, if the Broncos don't take him at 12, the Raiders absolutely take him at 13. But the Raiders taking him and the Raiders basically now have missed out. So it's Gardner Minshew season. So Gardner Minshew will be the quarterback for the season now. Maybe they might drift in Aiden O'Connell. That is a bit of a fluid situation. That's not how the Raiders would have wanted this. They would have wanted Penix at 13. That would have been their dream scenario. I 100% believe that. That didn't happen. And they miss out on Nix. So they might go and take Rattler. I don't think so. I think they probably have some confidence in Aiden O'Connell, and therefore I think they're going to go down that route. And then, so what they do, for me, from an organizational point of view, is they panic and they take Brock Bowers. And I don't love the value of Brock Bowers today, versus what it was before. Now, I'm not a big tight end lover anyway, so there's no real loss for me, but I think Brock Bowers, who I wasn't putting in the first round of rookie drafts for me, but would have been the first round of rookie drafts for quite a few people, not going to happen. You think he drifts down. If you took Michael Mayer last year, well, his value just fell off a cliff. He's finished effectively in terms of fantasy football terms, because Brock Bowers is just going to dominate him, and that'll be the end of that. So if you took Michael Mayer last year, high up in like the second round, thinking he's got the opportunity to be the guy. He ain't. That's him pretty much finished as a fantasy prospect, which is disappointing. But I don't feel organizationally that the Raiders have done the right thing here. I think there were many holes on this roster. Tight end feels like a luxury pick at 13. And I think they panicked. I think they literally sat there and they took arguably the best player on their board, but I don't think they necessarily took the best fitting player on their board. I think they could have got better in the trenches. They could have taken Latu. They had about four or five players I would have easily put over who they took in Brock Bowers. For what they need, you can't sit there and say that Brock Bowers steers them to more wins next year. I just don't get that. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I think there's other places he could have gone and been a better impact. And I think that will reflect in fantasy. If Aiden O'Connell is getting into this rhythm of challenging Gardner Minshew, or even just Gardner Minshew, he's not getting top-tier quarterback play. That's going to affect Brock Bowers' value. Brock Bowers becomes a really big risk in fantasy football, in redraft leagues for next year, but also in dynasty leagues. Because you now need to wait and to see what they do at quarterback in 2025. There's no doubt they'll draft one in 2025. And then you need that quarterback to bed in. So you're probably not going to get the true value on Brock Bowers until 2026. And if that is the case, can you justify having a tight end that you're going to have to effectively sit on your roster for the better part of 2 years? I won't be investing, but others will. And good luck to them. And I'm not saying my approach is right. I'm just explaining where I'm at and why I wouldn't do it. So we had Caleb Williams go at one. No shock. Everyone kind of knew it. His fantasy stock remains high. And the fact that he gets neighbors with him. Doesn't get neighbors with him. He gets Ndunze with him. Which, again, was something I had in my mock I sent to a few folks last night. And people are a bit questioning why they took Ndunze. I think Ndunze is phenomenal. I think he's an exceptional prospect. He definitely was my second best wide receiver in this club, my wide receiver too. So I think you take Ndunze. I think Keenan Allen's a short term. I think you put them both out wide. I think you're going to see Ndunze in this kind of role where you're probably not going to see too much out of him year one. I think you'll have flashes, you'll have big games, but I think they're thinking about the future. They have enough talent now with Williams to where they'll make plays and Ndunze will be fine. But I think you're only really going to see the true value out of him. Don't expect a huge rookie year out of Ndunze. I think you're going to see that more when Allen starts to push back and you see him out. They are going to play different roles. You're going to have DJ Moore one side and Ndunze the other. Allen, I expect, will play more this sort of middle volume role. But if anything, Keenan Allen's a huge loser in this move because I don't see the volume that he's going to have. They're going to have to support three wide receivers. And I don't really see them supporting them all brilliantly to where you're going to have this huge alpha wide receiver one now. I think now you've got this situation where it is quite a stacked wide receiver room, which is not something we were saying about the Bears 12 months ago. And so they're going to have to spread those targets around. And that'll be an interesting one to go and see. So I think just be patient with Ndunze. I'm not saying you lower him down on boards, but it just that rookie season is going to be a bit tough. But I definitely think Keenan Allen takes a bit of a hit in this move, and probably even DJ Moore to a certain degree. Although you could also argue it frees up DJ Moore by having someone on the other side who is a genuine threat. So interesting to see what happens. We'll spend some time and start looking at that situation. Jane Daniels at two, again, no surprise. I kind of had him there in my mock, and it's not because that's where I value him, it's because that's where the NFL. Coaches value him. And for me, it's going to be interesting. I don't think he's got all the talent that he needs to be highly successful there. But, I think if nothing else, it will be entertaining for Commanders fans. But he still remains my QB2 in this rookie draft. And then
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You have Drake May at three, criminal that he slides to three, but he has a really poor supporting cast in New England. I think you're going to find that Drake May will be good, but I think you're going to struggle to see that realization of fantasy value with his rookie year. I'd much rather take the other rookie, which is JJ McCarthy. You know, he's got another JJ and he's got Jordan Addison to throw the ball to day one. He's got that temperament to walk in. He'll blow Sam Darnold out of the water there, I think. If not immediately, very, very soon to get that job. So the way I'm sort of structuring it is I would now probably put JJ McCarthy over Drake May from a fantasy perspective. I think you can feel pretty comfortable taking those guys. Penix falls out of round one for me. Bo Nix actually now replaces him just because the opportunity for him is much shorter for him to get into a starting role. And the draft capital now cements that. The fact he's taken 12 overall, he's going to play this year at some point. I think maybe day one. If he doesn't start day one, he's starting very soon. So I structure them now. It's Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, May, Nix, Penix. But my word, when Penix takes over in 2 years' time, I think he could be phenomenal. Like, I genuinely think he could be phenomenal and you could get long-term value. If you want to play a stocks and shares long-term game, then take Michael Penix Jr. With all those weapons, young team, could go to the moon. But it's going to take a long time to get there. And if you don't have that runway to be able to do that, then you can't take Penix. If you do, if you are a really stacked team with maybe a couple of aging quarterbacks, you should think about taking him and then just sitting him and then just waiting for that opportunity to align itself. That's where we are with the quarterbacks. Running back situation is exactly the same. No one was taken last night. So we walk into today with the same situation we did yesterday. Nothing to see here about running backs. Everything is as it was. Now we get to the wide receivers. So we have Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona. Absolutely no surprise. He's going to absolutely get about a million targets there. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. has got to be a top two, top three pick in a dynasty draft. And he's probably got to be a number one overall pick in a rookie draft that's not super flex. We move through to Neighbors at six. This is interesting. There's good and bad with this pick. I don't love the landing spot, but I love the opportunity that's going to come with this landing spot because no one else on that roster really is top draw. Jalin Hyatt was injured. You can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get quicker. They're trying to get better with great talent, but great pace. Neighbors is a great prospect, but you're relying on Daniel Jones to be consistent, which is not something we can really associate with Daniel Jones. Having said that, given the fact there's such a really poor wide receiver room there is a case that Malik Neighbors could get 140 targets next year. And if he does, he'll be in that conversation to be well high up board. So I like taking Neighbors. I think you're kind of almost hoping you take Neighbors now for instant production and then they get a quarterback upgrade and he continues to get even better. And that's an arc you can present to yourself when you're thinking about taking Neighbors high up in your drafts. The other sort of interesting wide receiver take here, the one that you can really think about here is what happened after that. We talked about Ndunze. I've kind of already mentioned him. They were kind of the big three to go. Then we had a big wait for the next receiver to come off the board, which was Brian Thomas Jr. And this leads to my point, and we're going to talk about with what happened with the Bills and why the Bills didn't pick. So Brian Thomas Jr. goes to Jacksonville, which is a bit of a surprise. Jacksonville traded down with the Vikings. The Vikings went and got Dallas Turner, which I think is a phenomenal pick, by the way. I think the Vikings did very well last night. I think they had a very, very good draft. You sit there and you go, okay, so they've moved back, and then Brian Thomas Jr. sort of falls into their laps there. it kind of makes sense. I think scheme-wise, I think Brian Thomas makes good sense there. I think you're looking at him as the Ridley replacement. I don't necessarily know what that means for his value, because you've got Kirk, you've got guys underneath. There is a path there to where he could be a really top draw wide receiver. But I just feel like that organization prefers Kirk. Calvin Ridley came in, couldn't really disrupt Kirk. Kirk was the guy. It wasn't Ridley. It was Kirk. And regardless of what people think about Christian Kirk, he has been relatively consistent in Jacksonville. I know a lot of people look at that contract. There's a lot of money. He's paid like a one. He gets the ball like a one. He gets targeted like a one. And he plays at times like a one. I don't think Brian Robinson Jr. is going to usurp that. And so I think you're looking at him almost as the Jalen Waddle to Tyreek Hill. In that sort of trying to explain like a similar sort of role. It'll be a decent role. He'll be wide receiver two some weeks, might have the odd wide receiver one game, but I think he's consistently probably going to be a wide receiver three. Unless there's significant volume uplifts in that offense, which until we see that, we can't project it. So Brian Thomas Jr. kind of ends up about where I had him before the draft. But I do feel last night I had him going to the Bills and then I was going to get a little excited. And then that didn't happen. So I thought the Bills would have been perfect. He walks in, he becomes the guy, and then it all falls into place and he could actually see limitless opportunity. It's not happened. He's in Jacksonville. He's going to be, for me, sort of a wide receiver three. He's going to be fine to take in drafts. I'm not overly excited to take Brian Thomas Jr. I don't think for me, I'm looking at that thinking he's a guy I'm desperate to go and grab because I think there's a cap ceiling and I'd rather shoot for the moon. But if he falls into a decent range, I'm probably interested, but I'm not like pounding the table, getting really excited. If they'd gone to Buffalo, that would have been different. Now I think Buffalo were going to take him at 26. So a lot of people were really upset last night that Buffalo didn't take a wide receiver. And they did what the Raiders didn't, which is they remained calm. They clearly had a guy. I know, and I don't know this. This hasn't come from insiders. This hasn't come from people who are in the know or anything like this. This is just intuition of watching this draft for 25 years, of speaking to previous GMs, of speaking to people who have worked in the industry, who have made NFL draft picks and how they work. And this is, and we're competent organizations. And say what you want about the Bills, but they're a competent organization. They make smart decisions. They continually make smart decisions. And I think they probably had their eyes set on Brian Thomas Jr. It didn't happen. So they get an offer to trade back from Kansas City Chiefs. And they think, all right, they're going up and get a wide receiver, but we're not really sure who we want next. So we'll do it. And to be honest, they take Xavier Worthy, who we'll get to. And that's fine, because I don't think he's a good fit for the Bills. And yeah, that makes sense to not have him. So then they get to 32. And then the Panthers obviously call and say, hey, we want to come up one. And the Bills have gone, oh, that's perfect for us, because we'll sleep on the decision and we'll make a decision tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening. And that's what they've done. They just bought themselves time. And they'll evaluate. And I've got no doubt they'll probably take a wide receiver tomorrow. But they might not. They've now got all this time. Think about what they want to do. But they didn't panic. They sat there. They got some additional picks. And they gave themselves time just to regroup and think about where they want to go. And it probably wasn't just Brian Thomas Jr. There was probably a run of about three or four guys they probably wanted in this range that all of a sudden all started falling off the board. And they went, okay, our board's obliterated. We don't know what to do. Let's just regroup. We'll take it to 32. We'll buy ourselves some time. And then they get an offer to go from 32 to 33. And they're like, perfect. We'll take that. We'll take the evening. And that's what they've done for me. So that's where I think we are with the Bills. I think they'll take one, arguably, first pick of the night. But if they don't be too shocked. You've had this one of wide receivers. Let's talk about Worthy at KC, and all of a sudden Twitter lights up. I imagine I'm not on Twitter, so I can only just assume that Twitter is lit up, and good luck to them. I kind of feel a bit sorry for Worthy. because he's now going to be comped to Tyreek Hill for the next 5 years of his career. And that's unfortunate. Obviously, everyone sits there and thinks that Xavier Worthy's going to be the next Tyreek Hill. We'll see. He's got the speed. Of course he has, but that's a big leap. It's a big leap and a big expectation to put on someone. And we have seen great players fall upon those expectations and not make them because the expectation is so great. So I think if people could take the expectation off Xavier Worthy, which is not going to happen, he might have time to flourish and develop. There are people that are obviously very excited about what he can do with Patrick Mahomes. And I think we'll see flashes of that brilliance this year. No doubt he has shot absolutely miles up draft boards. I think he's going to get to a point, for me, he will be overpriced. Because I think now you're looking at him and people will probably take him as the third or fourth wide receiver because of where he is landed and who he's landed with. We look at all the wide receivers that they've had to play with the last couple of years, and they haven't had that many fantasy-relevant wide receivers for a few years since Tyreek's left. It's been Tyreek. It's been a very narrow tree. Now, obviously, you've got question marks of what's going on with Rashee Rice. You've got a few different things going on there at the moment in Kansas City. You've also got this team that is two-time defending Super Bowl champions that are coming. There's a few players that are getting towards the end of their careers. There's going to have to be some recycling. There's going to have to be some things change. There's going to be some flux upon Kansas City Chiefs coming soon. So don't look at Worthy as a five-year asset. You have to look at him effectively as a two-year asset and hope that that realization continues. Because with all these changes and flux coming in, I don't think Reed's there for the next 5 years. I think Kelsey will go. I think there's a few players in the offensive line, defensive line that will potentially go. And I think you'll start to see this team start to break up a little bit, be under new coaching management. You'll see a lot of different things happen. And I think, and then that's part of being, you know, in the NFL, playing fantasy football. You just have to wonder all these changes and what it will mean. The new coaching staff might not like Xavier Worthy. He might not hit the ground running. You know, we don't really know. My point is there's a lot of risk attached to Xavier Worthy. And I think people see all the positive. I'm just sitting here saying, I get the positive. I nod to it. I go, I get it. At the same point, I'm presenting an alternative viewpoint, which is, I think, what I tend to do more than other people is give you the other side of the coin, which is just be a bit weary. There's a lot of change that's going to happen in the next couple of years in Kansas City. Don't just accept the good without considering what the alternative is. And that's the alternative narrative that I'm going to give you here. Then we've got two guys that go late. Ricky Pearsall to the 49ers. And now this sparks all this movement. Is Ayuk going to get traded because Pearsall's been drafted? Could do. I'm not saying he's not. I'm also going to say not necessarily. Pearsall is a very raw prospect. I think he could be a very, very good wide receiver. I think he's going to need some help. He lands in a perfect spot for development. Don't get me wrong. I think he lands into a brilliant spot where he can develop and get better. This is a very different type of receiver to Ayuk and Samuel. There is a world where Pearsall is on the roster with Ayuk and Samuel. But what is very clear is Ayuk's days are more than likely numbered. Or if it's not him, Samuel's. One of those two wide receivers will go. Might not be this year. Might be next year. But one of those wide receivers will go. And that makes sense. I get it. And then one of them will go. And Pearsall then becomes the heir apparent. But there is a world that Pearsall doesn't see the ball much this year. Because they've got Christian McCaffrey. And if they keep Samuel, they keep Ayuk, and those three are healthy, no one else is getting the ball. And then Kittle, we haven't even mentioned Kittle in it. So there is a world that Pearsall does absolutely nothing in his rookie year. And that has to be taken into account when you do your rookie draft. So I love him from a long-term perspective. I think he's got a lot to give. He couldn't allow him the better spot to where he will realize his potential. Just be aware, there is a scenario where he does nothing in his rookie year. So you have to take him with the view of that is possible and then to not panic if that happens. That's the only thing I can kind of give you advice on. And then the Panthers, they trade up and they get Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. I don't really have any strong opinions on this one. It's a weak wide receiver room. Leggett's a decent prospect. It's not the guy I would have picked. If I'm the Panthers and I'm sitting there at 32, I've traded up. I'm getting a guy who's a bigger receiver. I'm getting a proper target in the red zone, because I don't think they have one. I don't think they have a big guy in it to go and get red zone targets. You're still relying on Adam Thielen to do that for you. Leggett isn't that guy for me. I think he's a good player, don't get me wrong. He is a big physical... I mean, look, he's got physical tools. He is a big vertical threat. He has got that ability to get down the field. But I'm thinking red zone. And this is where this team is really bad in getting those catches in the red zone, scoring, turning drives into points. This is where they struggled last year. I'm not sure, Leggett. I think, looking compared to what they've got, of course, it's an upgrade. There's no way to skin it. Of course, it's an upgrade. There's an opportunity for him to become very successful very early. Pathway to him to being a target monster is there. Just not the pick I would have made, but I understand it at least. Probably not good news for Jonathan Mingo, who was taken high last year. Must not have liked the look of him. Obviously, it's a different coaching staff this year. Probably don't have much to think about when it comes to Jonathan Mingo. No, not great news for him. So, you know, the big fantasy rises for me. I would say just immediately, and I'm saying immediately, like the short term, because it's hard to project the medium and the long term. But the big fantasy winners for me, you obviously look at Caleb Williams, which, you know, it's hard to say he's a winner because we kind of knew what was going to happen, but it's happened. So he's a big winner, got loads of weapons now. You have to look at that situation. So it's a very attractive time for him to come in. And the Bears come to London, that could be really exciting to watch them if he hits the ground running. You'd have to say that Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, and Kyler Murray is a big winner as a result of now getting a wide receiver who is as blue chip as you're going to get. Malik Nabers, I see both sides where he's going to get some impact, but you have to look at the volume. He's going to sit there and eat a lot of volume. So I think he's going to be a real winner for me. JJ McCarthy is a big winner. Look at what he's walking into and who he's going to get to throw the ball to. It's a great opportunity. He's not got much to beat out in Sam Darnold. JJ McCarthy is definitely a big winner on the night. And then I look at, you know, Xavier Worthy, probably one of the biggest winners in who he's attached to. And then you have to look at, say, Ricky Purcell and Leggett for the medium to longer term. I'd say are probably big winners. There's no guarantee those guys will be taken in round one. Big losers of the night, you probably have to say Drake Maeder with small degree, even though he's going to walk in, he's going to be starter day one, he's got no competition. Also, he's not got a great receiving room. We'll see what happens over the rest of the draft and what potentially they can do, but he doesn't have a lot of great targets to throw to. And yeah, it could be a bit of a rebuild, yeah, but hey, the thing you've got with Drake May is he's got great ability, and if they continue to build and invest, that could get better over time. But overnight, you have to say that with where he's landed, it's not necessarily the greatest place for him to start his rookie year. You have to say Roman Dunze probably takes an arrow back. Just in terms of his year one, it's going to be really difficult. There's a really clear path to him being very successful long term. But his day one prospects probably don't look too clear and too great. So just something to keep an eye on there. I don't think Brock Bowers is an arrow up. I think he's an arrow down for me. Yeah, there's not tons of target competition, but he's also in an offense where he's going to struggle with quarterback play, consistently good quarterback play. And I think that's going to really hinder him and what he'll do in the short term. So he's definitely on my sort of arrow down list. Brian Thomas, potentially an arrow down list as well. Just, again, I think you've just lost the ceiling. I think he'll have a solid career, but I think he's going to struggle to get to the heights there as a result of that. And then I guess if you're looking at some incumbent players, obviously Sam Darnold, massive loser of the night. You have to look at Kirk Cousins is a huge loser. Michael Penix Jr., probably a loser, just in the fact that he's going to sit for the next 2 years. But you've now caused a lot of chaos in Atlanta in terms of the long term of Kirk Cousins, which hard to talk about long term when the quarterback's 35, 36 years old. But ultimately, he was given a 4-year deal, which is almost virtually guaranteed, at least the first 3 years. You kind of think he's got 3 years. He's really only got 18 months to 2 years. So it's a very different kettle of fish now. If you did a startup draft and you took Kirk Cousins, that pick looks worse now than it did 24 hours ago. So I think he's definitely sort of narrowed down. Keenan Allen narrowed down. You'll clearly see where they're looking to move on at some point. They're not going to be able to support all three targets. DJ Moore probably narrowed down just because Ndunze will take targets, and that becomes a really complicated room to try and project out who's going to get the ball more. So those guys definitely take a bit of an arrow down. Marquise Oliver Brown in Arizona probably takes an arrow down as well because of the fact that he's no longer going to be the main target guy with Marvin Harrison Jr. who's going to walk in day one and absolutely dominate. So there's some guys there. Jonathan Mingo, arrow down. And then potentially someone like Ayuk or Samuel, if they get traded, will be an arrow down depending on where they go. Hard to see them get a really big spot there. And then Rashee Rice, there's a chance that he's going to see an arrow down with Xavier Worthy in there, although they're very different types of players, and Rashee Rice is his own instance going on. So there's some areas there that you need to digest and think about. But it was a good night in the NFL draft. No doubt that we'll start seeing spoiler alerts that teams are going to start trading up and hemorrhaging franchise worthy talent to get prospects. What's strange was not a lot of defensive players went early. In fact, the first pick went at pick 15, so didn't see a lot of defensive players off the board. We've seen no linebackers off the board. We've seen no running backs off the board. No doubt we'll see a couple go off the board quite early tonight. Not a load of edge rushers off the board. We only had three, so no doubt we'll see a run on them tonight as well. So, but let me know what you think. Put it in the comments. Hit subscribe. Doesn't mean you pay anything. Subscribe is purely just a follow. Hit these notifications. I will try and do another one of these over the weekend to give you another reactions, and then Stocks and I will break it all down next week. But very much appreciate the support, as always. Don't forget to enter the FFCC. We've seen a huge spike in donations over the last week or so, so appreciate that ever so much. We're just sort of touching £2,500 raised. So I really appreciate each and every person that's donated and entered the cause. Hope to see a lot more of you in there over the coming weeks as we start putting this push on to getting the bracket filled, and there's room for more people as well. So looking forward to hearing more. But yeah, write in the comments what you thought about your team's picks. Do give us a subscribe, hit the like button, anything you can do to share the wealth. I appreciate all your time. Good luck this weekend with the rest of the NFL draft and your NFL rookie drafts. I look forward to catching up with you all next week with Stocks. But until then, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.